It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
We're live on the Bet 1430 in Denver, KCBS HD3 in Los Angeles, and 105.9 FM HD2, the Bet, Chicago's new home for wagertainment. You Better You Bet, sponsored by Bet Rivers. Deposit $250, you'll receive a $250 match. You can't find better odds at other sports books. It's an absolute no-brainer. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos. Ken Barkley, of course. We're waiting here on Kurt Heelan, who should be joining us, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports. And yeah, we'll get into the Power Hour as well. We've got a big fight this weekend, too, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the program. And it's kind of the top of the roller coaster here for Ken Barkley, because tomorrow morning, vacation does begin. The big family road trip down the East Coast. So this is it. After tonight's show, Ken is packing up the car, out the door, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning sharp. Down the East Coast, Ken Barkley goes.
Yep, and it, you look behind me. I took everything off the walls, even nothing behind me. Took all the pictures down, put them in the trunk, and everything. Nah, it's gonna be awesome. Very excited for the trip, but yeah, just a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of packing, two small kids, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, you mentioned Power Hour. One of the things that has made the Power Hour a little bit more of a slog than normal, even though the NBA results have been incredible. Nick and I combined went 11-0 the other night. I should have went 3-2 last night, and I got killed by the maybe that's not true. Wizards overtime killed me. I had the under in the game. But anyway, one of the reasons it's a slog is obviously player injuries. We're going to have a lot of player injuries we have to dissect in the final segment of next hour when we do NBA picks. Of kind of as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, what you're going to see is teams mailing it in, basically. Teams starting to – because, again, if you are a team that is not going to make the playoffs, even the play-in tournament, and you are in possession of a superstar player, you have a superstar player plays for you, then it is pretty much just not in your interest to play this guy ever. Why would you risk a serious injury when there's nothing at stake? And we've actually had another one of those added to the pile with Zion Williamson, who has a fractured ring finger, apparently, is basically not going to play the rest of the season. And if you're like, all right, well, like, what's kind of the net impact of it? Okay, and we can go through this really briefly. Six games left. They play Philly tonight. There are three teams who do not want to be in the play-in tournament: Portland, Lakers, Dallas. New Orleans, with no Zion, plays two of those teams in the next six games, at Dallas on May 12th, and then, as everybody knows, Lakers to close the year, as we've gone through the Lakers schedule. So the team you just heard groaning was Portland. That Dallas and the Lakers are basically going to get, with if Ingram is really going to be out until the end of the year and Zion's confirmed out, kind of a free win, basically, in the battle to not be in the play-in tournament. So there is a ripple effect, even though it may not seem like, you know, hey, Pelicans out of it, whatever. Kind of interesting. Lakers kind of maybe get a free win in the last game of the season now.
Yeah, let's get the thoughts right now. Kurt Heelan, he joins us, and the lead NBA writer for NBC Sports. Hey, Kurt, Mark Melusis, Ken Barkley with you. Thanks for a couple minutes here on this Friday.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, Kurt. Really appreciate it. And you know, we were talking about Zion and really just through the prism of kind of just how bizarre this last couple weeks is going to go. And there's a lot of seeds that matter. These teams are trying to avoid the play-in tournament. I mean, what have you kind of made of, you know, that, have you ever seen a period of time at the end of the season like what we've seen recently with this compressed schedule and everything?
No, I mean, there's definitely been not the NBA will push back on the idea that there's more injuries, but there's certainly more high profile injuries, right? Like LeBron James and Anthony Davis with the Lakers and now Zion today. It absolutely feels like there's more game impacting ones, right? Like the kind that with the Nets, like they're just, you know, look, the ball doesn't move the same way without James Harden, and they look a lot more stagnant. They lose four in a row, so it's definitely impacting this. And then, like you just said, Zion's impact is, it's not just the Pelicans falling off, although it gives, let's put it this way, I feel pretty good if I'm Dallas. I don't know if I feel good against anybody right now if I'm the Lakers.
Yeah, Kurt, I just got to, before we get back to the NBA, are you in a bird sanctuary? Because, I mean, the sound effects in the background are just amazing. Are you around a bunch of parakeets? It's remarkable ambiance.
I wish. I'm just in my backyard. It's a challenge some days in our house with my wife, who's a teacher, trying to Zoom from home, and sure. And myself. So I had to jump outside, and yeah, apparently there's, I don't know, some bird trying to mate near me. I don't know what it's doing up there.
Noted.
That is great. That's a great line. I don't even know how to bounce back over that. All right, Kurt. How about the Bucks in the East? They've kind of, Brooklyn gets a lot of love. You look at Philadelphia 76ers clearly have gotten a lot of love. Do you read into Milwaukee, not a whole Brooklyn team, but taking both of those games against the Brooklyn Nets? And what about the Bucks right now as we're crawling down the stretch here in the NBA regular season?
I feel better about them than I have the last couple of years, but I don't know if that's enough. And there is a certain amount of – they're just going to have to do it in the playoffs to prove it to all of us, right? How much are we really trusting them? But they are – look, they are switching more on defense, and they're showing the kind of defensive versatility that you need in the playoffs that they haven't had. And the other thing that did come through in those two Brooklyn games that you can take away is Drew Holiday did pretty well on Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving's Kyrie Irving, and he's going to go get his buckets. But if you can make him work for it, make that a less efficient few points, then – that's a huge advantage, and he was able to do that. That's a good sign going forward. Again, Brooklyn's not the same without James Harden. They come very isolation heavy, very stagnant offensively. I mean, I was watching the end of last night's game thinking, thinking, man, the ball just sticks. Like, when was the last time they had an assist? It's just not the same offense. So getting Harden back and getting Harden back healthy, which you never quite know with a hamstring, is going to be huge. So those hamstrings and ankles and stuff, I think that all these guys coming back, it's not just that they're back, but how much can they trust it?
Kurt, I think one thing that's really interesting about, you mentioned Bucks and Nets and some of the on-court handicapping that takes place and just the X's and O's for people in your line of work that just, want to think deeper about the game of basketball. One thing that's come up on our show a lot with the matchup between those two teams is those two coaches, which I think is just a fascinating dynamic. If they do end up playing, and say it's the second round of the playoffs, which would obviously be the most likely place that they would meet, and it's Coach Bud, who nobody has ever wanted to say is a good coach, basically, and who everybody kind of blames for what's happened to the Bucks recently, and you would like to believe against most teams that would be a negative for Milwaukee having Coach Bud on the sidelines, except Steve Nash is on the opposite sideline. Like, I'm not sure that he's not worse than Coach Bud, that we actually trust him less. Like, what do you make of these two coaches? Like, do you give an edge in the series? Do you think, is this a situation where Coach Bud could actually be like the stronger coach on the sidelines?
I don't know if he's going to be. Like, I think he gets a little too much blame for some of the stuff that goes on, but he also, to be fair, he has not made the adjustments, right? He set himself up for failure in some ways in those last years, right? Like, we're all like, why are you not playing Giannis 40 minutes a night? And he came out and said, I can't. I only played him 30 minutes a night during the season. I can't jump him 10 minutes a night and Brooke Lopez and all these guys like that much without really risking injuries. We can really only play him 35 minutes a night. Well, that's on you, dude. Like you better play him more minutes. You have to, and they've done that this year. So I think he gets sometimes a little too much X's and O's blame, but he set himself up for failure. Nash, we just don't know, right? He's been level-headed and calm all season long, and I think that that's what this team needed. It needed a coach who was not going to add to the natural drama all around this team. But what happened? I mean, look, he's got a great staff. He's got an experienced staff, but now, and he's been in playoff series before. He's been hip checked by Robert Horry and maybe gone out of the finals because Stoudemire went charging after Horry for that one. Like, he's been in these moments, but it's different when you're a coach and you got to remember to save a timeout or, draw up that play at the last minute. So I don't know what to do with him, but I don't know that there's much of a coaching advantage in that one. I'm with you. I'm not, this isn't like, oh, hey, Eric Spoelstra's in this one. We better give them the edge. I don't know who's got the edge in that one.
Kurt, Jazz, Suns, which team out West do you believe in more come playoff time?
Oh, Jazz, by far. It's nothing. Look, I hate knocking the Suns because they've had a phenomenal season. Monty Williams absolutely should be in the mix for Coach of the Year. Chris Paul is an all-NBA guard this year. There's so much to like about what they've done, and they've done right. But, A, they just haven't been through it. And I'm a genuine believer that there is a rite of passage, for lack of a better word, in the NBA. Like, you have to learn how to win. And I don't mean as a team always. You can be the 2008 Celtics, where Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen had all, and a lot of those guys had learned lessons in other places and brought them. LeBron can bring to the Laker team that hadn't won in 6 years. Like, this is how you do it. But somebody's got to have learned the hard lessons, and they just haven't. This is a team that's going to learn some. The other thing I don't trust about Phoenix, it's a small backcourt, guys. Like, it's the Portland problem, right? Like, ultimately, if you get in a matchup with, like, the Clippers, you're in a lot of trouble trying to guard people with your six-foot guards, man. It's just not going to work too well. So I think that ultimately is Phoenix's undoing, where I think Utah's ready. I think that they have a chance to come out of the West. They don't match up well, particularly well with the Clippers, if the Clippers are healthy. But that's still a team that defends well, has multiple shot creators now. And it isn't stuck. It's when you take away the system points, it's not Donovan Mitchell against the world, because now Mike Conley can do some of that. And they've been getting more from Jordan Clarkson. And frankly, everybody sleeps on Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles might be the sixth man of the year. He's not going to win it. Clarkson will win it, but Ingles has been so good. So all that depth, I think that they're just this is peak ensemble play, and we'll see if that's enough to get you past the Clippers and Lakers.
Kerr, we only have about 30, 45 seconds left, and normally this question would be really easy to answer, but this year I don't think it is. We're a week away from the playoffs, so again, in 30 seconds, if you had to right now, who would you pick going to the NBA Finals? Who would you have winning?
I would take any one team. I would take the field over any one team at this point, but if you're going to make me pick Brooklyn out of the East, because I think they're going to get healthy and figure it out. I don't think the Lakers are healthy enough, and I'm leaning towards the Clippers out of the West. And then I'd probably take Brooklyn in the finals, but that's such a coin toss at that point, I'm not sure.
Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports, calling us from the most peaceful place on planet Earth. Kurt, fantastic. We appreciate the time. All right, on this Friday, have a great weekend.
Take care.
You got it.
That was he mentioned something with Nash there real quick too, and he did it. I mean, basketball people will know what he's talking about, but that series against the Spurs, I still remember watching every game of that series. Yeah. Was rooting for the Suns so bad. Amari was destroying Tim Duncan in parts of that series. Like, that's how crazy that version of Amari Stoudemire was. Like, people never really got to see that on the Knicks to that degree, but yeah, I mean, guys leaving the bench, get suspended, Spurs end up winning that series. That was the Suns' best chance probably to go win a title and didn't get to do it, and Nash obviously a big part of that series.
Power Hour comes your way next. Two down, two to play with. It's You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network.
Want to know if it moved?
I think it moved.
The guys bring you the latest line movement in the Power Hour on You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.